So by way of introduction, I need to tell you a little story tonight. So on May 19th, okay, so a couple months ago, our scripture reading in the morning was Psalm 19. And the following Saturday morning, May 25th, it was Greg Hall who gave the challenge, and he gave a little confession in that. He says, you know, while I was turning to Psalm 19, my eyes fell on Psalm 18. And so that morning, the Lord pressed upon his heart to give a challenge, a very good challenge, from the first few verses of Psalm 18. And it was really in that challenge where the Lord touched my heart and said, you know, I'd love to look a little bit more into that psalm. What a great psalm, Psalm 18. So thank you, Greg, for the starts of, really the start of this sermon about 2.5 months ago. So first we're going to look at really what's the inspired introduction to Psalm 118. So if you have your Bible, I'm sorry, not 118, 18, the inspired introduction to Psalm 18. And the introduction reads, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord these the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Let's pray. Lord, as we look into this psalm, may you open our hearts to look back in our lives, to look forward to what you have us, and Lord, to be thankful for who you are, to, as David did, to look back and see the wonderful blessings even amidst the very difficult times, and to call you his great God. May we do the same tonight in Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 36 has a similar title, though only just partially stated, to the chief musician, Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. So as you read through that introduction, you can realize that in David's life, after Saul, after Absalom, after Sheba, the son of Bichri, after the Philistines, after the giants, after all those who sought David's life and failed, then late in David's life, he pens these words to be what Spurgeon called a grateful retrospect. David pens the words that are really partly found first in 2 Samuel, Chapter 22, verse 1 says, and David spake unto the Lord the words of the song of the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. Second Samuel 22 and Psalm 18 are very similar, though not identical. They're very much the same. Regarding the introduction to the psalm, C.H. Spurgeon says, would that more musical and poetical ability were consecrated, that our chief musician were fitted to be trusted with devout and spiritual psalmody. He continues, it should be observed that the words of this song were not composed with the view of gratifying the taste of men, but were spoken to Jehovah. It were well if we had a more single eye to honor the Lord in our singing and in all other hallowed exercises. That praise is little worth which is not directed solely and heartily to the Lord. Now, you expect a music pastor to say that, right? But I didn't say it. See, it's Spurgeon said it, the preacher. And remember what the book of Psalms is. It's a songbook of the Jewish people. So number one in our outline tonight for Psalm 18, number one, David praises the God of his deliverance. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. 1 through 3. I will love, you know, in fact, I'd love for us all to sing it together. Well, we could sing it together, but let's read it together. Psalm 18, 1 through 3. I'll be reading from King James. If you'd like to read with us, you don't have that, it's page 506 in your pew Bible, if you want to pull that out. Psalm 18, 1 through 3, let's read it together. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I will love thee, O Lord. This is a statement that affirms David's love for Jehovah, for the great I am. It is a willing statement of his love. He said, I will. He voluntarily states his love for God. The word for love is a very heartfelt word. It's not out of compulsion, but out of a desire and out of compassion, out of a passionate love for God. David Guzik says of I will love you. David said, I will love you to the God who delivered him, not only for rescuing him from his trial, but for all God did in and through the trials to make him what he was. David wasn't bitter against God, as if he said, well, it's about time you delivered me. Instead, he was grateful that the years of trouble had done something good and necessary in his life. I'm going to read a short passage. This is a devotional entitled Musicians Look at the Psalms by Don Wurtson. He says this, the psalm contains more lament than praise. Uninhibited praise is usually preceded by authentic lament. Perhaps today our praise and our worship are shallow and superficial because we have not learned to lament. Unlike David, we have little or no concept of profound, what personal or profound need is. So we go through, and in these couple of verses, verses 1 and 2, David gives his God 9 titles. Just look at those briefly. 9 titles that infer the type of trust that David has put into his God. The first is my strength. And you'll notice that as we go through the scripture, I am not adding those personal possessive pronouns. They're in the scripture. David says, my strength. God is my rock and my fortress, my strength. It's the idea of not strength, but strength with help. God gave David help. Again, Guzik says, David praises the one who empowered him to survive against the defeat of his enemies. Now, the more you know about David's life, the more you're going to appreciate this psalm. The more you understand how many times he was so close to death. How many times he was in despair. How many times he was in great, great trouble. So it reminds us of Ephesians 6:10, which says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Some of the testimonies tonight pointed to that. It's not in my strength that I'm going to save myself, but it's trusting in the God who will save me. My strength. Secondly is my rock. My rock. Now, a rock can be a place of shelter. It can be a place of safety. It can be a place of solid footing, just strong, secure standing. But literally, this is telling us that he's saying, my rock. The inference here is that he is, our God, is the cleft in the rock where David can hide, where you and I can go to hide. The cleft in the rock for concealment. My strength, my rock, my fortress. My fortress, obviously, a place of great strength. And not only strength, but protection and safety. God, David is saying of his God, you are my place of strength and safety. If you're like me, we won't take the time tonight, but you're probably thinking of other psalms where David has said similar things, or others have said similar things. My rock, my fortress, my deliverer. God was the one who made the way of escape for him. He made the way of escape for him. My deliverer. We see my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Next, my God. C.H. Spurgeon says, there is a boundless wealth in this expression. It means my perpetual, unchanging, infinite, eternal God. He who can say truly, my God, may well add, my heaven and my all. David calls his Lord his God. Fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. My strength. Now, this word strength is different than the word strength that we see in verse 1, chapter 18, verse 1. This strength is the idea of a fountain of strength, continually producing strength. Next, we have my buckler. Now, you're probably familiar that a buckler is a shield, and it's a large shield. A shield that can defend both the head and the body. So David's saying that God is my shield. Next, he said, the horn of my salvation. Great symbol of power, of strength, of defense, the horn. Then lastly, my high tower. A tall place of refuge. Where he could see the enemy from a distance and be protected. Matthew Henry writes of David's expression. He says, I have found him so in the greatest dangers and difficulties. I have chosen him to be so, disclaiming all others and depending upon him only to protect me. And then he says, those that truly love God may thus triumph in him as theirs, and may with confidence call upon him. So as we started out, as David calls his God, he says, God is my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. Matthew Henry is suggesting to us, we need to do the same thing. We need to call God, my strength, my high tower, my fortress, the horn of my salvation, etc. And then as we heard so well this morning from Pastor Nate in Psalm 130, verse 3, I will call upon the Lord. And it really is David's cry, just as we saw in Psalm 130 this morning. David, being in that desperate spot so many times, learned to cry unto the Lord, not to others, not to himself, not in lament, not in despair, But he would cry to God, for he was the only one who could help him. He forsook all others and cried unto God. So David's cry, verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. David called to the Lord, not to anyone else. David gave God the praise that he was due. That's what worship is, right? We attribute worth to the one, in this case, our God. And then David will be saved from his enemies. We'll go, we're running out of time here quickly. But the rest of the chapter, the rest of the psalm, you know, there's 50 verses tonight. I didn't Dave Harrell said, okay, really? No, don't worry. I did not assume that I would get even close to those 50. But come back Wednesday, because I do plan to finish. William S. Plummer wrote this. He was a pastor in the 1800s. He said, whoso comes to God as he should will not call in vain. The right kind of prayer is the most potent instrumentality known on earth. It is that cry, as we heard this morning, with all else put aside, and crying only to the one who can truly save us, only to our God. You know, I know we have problems. I know we have troubles. I know we have some deep wounds. We have things, some of you have things going on in your lives that nobody else knows, I'm sure. There's things going in our lives, in your lives, that nobody else knows. But God knows. And God wants to be your strength. He wants to be your rock. He wants to be the fortress that in a time of trouble that you run in to be safe. He wants to be your deliverer. He so desperately wants to be your God. He wants to be that fountain of strength that never runs out. He wants to be your shield, your defense against the enemy. And of course, we know he is the horn of our great salvation. And that high tower, that when you see the enemy a-coming, you run in to be protected, not even to face the battle. David cried unto that God to be his Lord. I'm going to end there tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we need to see you as David saw you in the midst of our trials. He faced such desperate trials against his very life so many, many times, and yet he trusted you implicitly. He trusted you and nothing and no one else, and you saved him. The rest of the psalm tells us that. How he praises you about how you saved him so many times and from so many troubles. As we face our troubles now, as we face our troubles this week, as we face the troubles in our life ahead, may we truly call upon you. May we cry out unto you, and may we hide in that cleft of the rock and to know your safety and your protection that comes only from you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.